We'd like to welcome everyone to the Mesa City Council meeting, study session for Monday, January 25th, 2010. This evening, our agenda for this study session, we're going to convene an executive session for a few short minutes to discuss Cub spring training. I think there's something on the agenda vaguely related to that this evening. And then we'll come back to go over our agenda review and to continue on with the additional items on the agenda. So I'll entertain a motion to enter into executive session. Have a motion from Councilmember Summers, a second from the Vice Mayor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are now going to convene an executive session. We'll be back in a few minutes. So thank you very much. We'll now move on with item number two on the agenda, which is to review items for tonight's regular council meeting. We'll begin with page two. Page three.
Mayor.
Councilmember Higgins.
Actually, 3H and 3O are both Walgreens that during the planning and zoning process, there was agreement that they would not have liquor licenses at those locations. So that's what the verbiage I have. 3H, 4420 East Brown Road, which is Brown and Greenfield-ish, exactly. And then 3O, which is 3624 North Power Road, which is Power and Thomas. So I'd like to remove those from consent or remove those. I don't know what the process would be.
And 3O is where? That's at Power and?
Power and Thomas.
Mr. Wesley. If I could, when we say that there was an agreement, what form did that agreement take?
Mayor, with regard to item 3H, that's the 4420 East Brown Road, in that particular instance, one of the neighbors, I believe from the subdivision to the west, expressed concern about liquor sales during the discussion at the Planning and Zoning Board. There was no further discussion about that. There were no steps with regard to that case. So. Other than that one concern, I don't know if there was too much more with that in terms of any agreements or regarding
so
the liquor
concern
sales.
From a neighbor.
Yes.
Response from the Walgreens.
Did
the
not
recognition of the complaint. It was just logged in as a complaint.
That's all I saw in the minutes. Okay. With regard to item 3O, however, there was a letter from the developer representing Walgreens, and that letter is attached to the memo that you received earlier, where they did. Right back to, excuse me, did write back to the residents in the area stating that their intent was to not include liquor sales at that particular store. Again, this is not an ordinance. It's not a binding agreement. It was a letter from Walgreens to the neighbors expressing that was how they were proceeding.
And that was a little over 10 years ago that they made that representation.
Yes.
Okay, so Councilmember Higgins, you'd like those two removed?
Yeah, and I just want to comment on 3H. The notes really, you know, they say a neighbor was present, but historically we don't know if that neighbor was representing the neighborhood or if he was just there or they on their own behalf. So I'm erring on the side of caution that there was opposition to the liquor license in that location, and I'd prefer to...
If we're rehashing some of this, since I wasn't here last Thursday, all these Walgreens do not currently sell liquor, but since they're new liquor licenses, they're proposing to now offer beer and wine and liquor in the stores like they do. I know there's some Walgreens that have almost separate liquor type things. Would these comply with any other regulations we have in the city as far as display or sale or any of those kind of things? To add these kind of things?
Yeah.
Okay, Council Member Kavanaugh.
Mayor, I might be able to help with that. I raised the issue of the SEPTED design issues for these new Walgreens, and Patty Gallagher, I think, from the police department is here to talk about her discussions with Walgreens personnel to identify for us how Walgreens plans to handle the conversion of these stores to have the sale of liquor, because they were designed originally without having liquor sales. But I think Ms. Gallagher has had some positive discussions and just for a few minutes can tell us what they plan to do.
Okay, Pat.
Good evening.
I did have a meeting with Walgreens, with their corporate staff, and also, you know, toured the stores. We, district-wide, have had very, very few minimal problems with Walgreens. They, their stores are have very good SEPTED principles already in place that we're quite pleased with.
And just so people understand, when you're talking about SEPTA principles, we're talking about measures that stores take to limit theft and crime, and the way that they merchandise, display, and sell all products, but especially liquor. There's certain things they do, like where they place it, how they police that internally.
Correct.
So that's what we're talking about.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
It's actually designing crime out, and they've done a very good job of that. They have cameras in place. I had listed some of the things that they did. One of the things I notice when you walk into any Walgreens store is they have mirrors on the far back wall that are tilted at a 45-degree angle so that they have surveillance of all the aisles at all times. As you walk into the door, there's a cash register right there that's always manned with a clerk. They basically have a cashier in each corner of the store, which is wonderful. We wish every store had that. They have, you know, pretty much surveillance for the entire store. They have a good camera system. They also exercise. They have all of their employees are well trained and alert, and they exercise what we call aggressive customer service, where if someone's just kind of wandering around or staying in one area too much, too long, they'll go and say, you know, may I help you with something? May I help you find something? Which we recommend, that's part of the SEPTED principle, is to make sure that person knows that they're being watched or someone's there to help them. Their camera systems are very good. They have, you know, and I won't go into detail on the camera system because we, you know, kind of like to keep
They're
that.
Just there.
Yes, they are there.
The eye in the sky exists.
Yes, definitely. And they do a good job of maintenance and everything. And they're also upgrading in many of the stores to increase the cameras.
So how are they making, what are they doing physically to accommodate these new liquor areas in stores where they don't currently exist?
Excuse me. The plan is to have the beer, and they're only going to sell beer and wine. The plan is to have it toward the back of the store. It'll be kind of in the center, but to the back wall where they already have pop and water displays. Other types of drinks. They're going to have a 12-foot section at the end of one aisle, one end cap, and then in the coolers they're going to have two parts of the cooler, but they're going to be an open-air cooler except in the newer stores where they will have doors. Eventually they said they would like to have doors on all the beer coolers. Most of their stores close at 10 p.m., so the issue of keeping the doors locked is, you know, not as bad. The stores that are open 24 hours, they have agreed to secure that beer, whether it's through netting or other means, that all the beer and wine will be, the displays will be secured, which is one of the things that we asked because that's really important. So that's been taken care of. The wine bottles, they agreed to put the caps on, the alarm caps. That helps. That's another deterrent. They have a really good system for carding. And when the clerk checks in at the time clock, it comes up and reminds them about the liquor sales and that they have to card everyone. They have really good checks and balances for that. That was one of my concerns. I want to make sure that was okay. When they come up to the cash register, only certain clerks can sell alcohol. They have to be, you know, 21. And if they aren't, then they have a manager. They have to call for a manager to come up and make the sale, override the cash register. And do an approval on it. If a group comes in, everyone in the group has to be carded, and they card for anyone that appears to be 40 or under. So they had good ideas in place for that.
What we're saying is that you believe that certainly from a police and from a crime prevention, the Walgreens been a good corporate citizen and has cooperated and actually built in safeguards and has taken into account suggestions and what they do internally already to create these safeguards and to have enhanced security measures.
Yes, definitely. And they also agreed that if any issues do come up, that they would work closely with the police department to try to resolve those issues as soon as possible and listen to our recommendations.
Okay. Now, Councilmember Higgins, I believe that your concern on these specific two stores is not really driven by the security issues, as more of a either representations that were actually made or concerns that were brought up by the neighbors related to the sales of liquor, period, in those stores, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
That was it.
Councilmember Summers and then Councilmember Richards.
Thank you. First, thank you. That was a great presentation. I think it summarized the crime prevention through environmental design that the police department has been working on for a long time, and it is good to hear that one of our corporate citizens is actually very engaged in working with that law enforcement philosophy through design, as opposed to some others who are opposed to it, who currently have liquor licenses. So I appreciate that. That helps me make a decision. Mr. Wesley, I do have a couple of questions quickly. And on issue number one on this letter, dated 14 June of 99, toward the end of that paragraph, it says, should Walgreens ever want to sell liquor, they would have to apply for a liquor license, which would involve a public hearing. The neighborhood would be able to voice their displeasure and disapproval at any such a hearing. Were those hearings held? Including this one, I suppose.
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Summers, this would be the hearing. That would be part
it was
of the process.
Properly posted. To the best of my knowledge, we don't have anybody.
No. Excuse me, Mayor, Councilmember Summers. No one objected in the 20-day posting, and all the postings have been completed.
Okay, and perhaps more importantly on this, it says furthermore, the store is located within 300 feet of a school play yard, which under the current liquor license laws prohibits sale of alcohol. Is that still the case?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, that is not correct. If they're going for a Series 6 license, that would come into play, but for a beer and wine license, that is not the case.
Okay, so the laws, they're within the statute of the laws.
They are within the law.
Okay, and then this board only makes recommendations, yes or no. The actual liquor license board would meet when to decide these?
Probably in about the 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, the Arizona Liquor Board would actually make that decision based on the recommendation.
This is just a recommendation.
It is.
We're not making a decision that's binding at all. We're simply passing on a recommendation. So even if we were to vote no on any liquor license, the state liquor board can do what they want.
Yes.
Basically, and they do what they want.
And if somebody wanted to object, if I may, one more, where would they go to find that information?
It's posted right on the stores. It's in plain view in all of the stores. When we post these, they're right on the front, and it actually states right there what they need to do, how they need to do it, and the process for doing that. So they just need to put it in writing. They can either go through our office or right through the Arizona Liquor Board.
So if they see this tonight, decide that they want to oppose it, they can read that information on those sites and then contact the State Liquor Board?
They still could, but the 20-day posting has been completed. So it's once the posting is done, they have 20 days that we have to leave the posting up. Mm-hmm. And then they have, during that 20 days, they have the ability to go ahead and write and lodge an official complaint or show support. They can do either one. If they want to come in tonight or they want to go to the liquor board, they're more than welcome to do that, but it's up to the board and up to the council how they want to weigh that. So, but it can't be part of the official record as far as an official decision of why they would not want to recommend something because it's past the 20-day time frame. But they certainly can listen to that and voice their opinion.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Councilman Richards.
I'd be comfortable leaving 3H on consent, but 3O I'd like to leave off consent and have a separate vote on that. To me, this is a lot like the palm trees at Riverview type issue. A promise was made in a letter from a developer. We need to make sure that they stick the promise. They promised they wouldn't sell alcohol at that store. We need to stick, sometimes we're the only people that are paying close enough attention to make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen. So, thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Higgins, would you still like to leave 3H off consent?
I'll agree with Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, if I could just remind the council, if there's going to be a motion to recommend denial for one of these items, the statute requires that you expressly state in the motion the basis for the denial. So you would just have to explain your vote in the motion itself.
Okay. Thank you. So 3H will remain on consent. 3O will be removed from consent. Okay. Anything else on page 3 or 4?
Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Yes.
Just going back, 3B, I just wanted to point out that there was a revised application sent to the council Thursday afternoon after their packet had already been mailed. So the applicant is currently Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation. I believe in the original packet, it was Downtown Events, and I just wanted to point that out for the council members.
Thank you
very much. It was posted properly.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8, you see the new items on 5J, 5K. Is there any reason why we can't take one vote on those, Ms. Spinner? Can we?
No, Mayor, you can take one vote if that's
would there be any objection to considering those as one vote? Okay, so we will look at 5J and 5K as separate items, but taken with one vote in the meeting. And page 9. Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, just on item 6A, I've asked for it to remove from consent agenda for my previously lodged concerns. But the question I have is, if this moves forward today, I was interested in adding a line that says we will look at the process in a year from now to see how the Design Review Board in its new whatever form is looking and working for us.
Ms. Spinner.
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, we cannot add that to the ordinance because then we would have to reintroduce it. Our charter requires that any changes to the ordinance must go back for reintroduction, but the council can certainly give the direction to the staff so that it would be brought back in a year.
And I would have no problem with putting that on the tickler for a year from now.
Okay.
Okay. Any objection to the Mr. Wesley?
Mayor, Council, no objection. I was going to comment on one other related topic. Councilmember Higgins brought up some good questions last Thursday morning at the study session that staff's been thinking about since then in terms of the public and how they're being involved in this process and their ability to continue to comment on these cases as they come in. So I just wanted to share some of those thoughts we've had since Thursday morning study session. One is a benefit that we see of this process compared to previously is getting the citizens involved at that work session stage, as opposed to the current process is when the final decision is being made. So they are being involved earlier when they can have more impact on the project. Something that we will be doing also as part of this process, as we've thought about a little bit more, is similar to what we do currently with Planning and Zoning Board, is posting the applications as they come in on the internet site with the drawings and renderings, so it's easier for the public to see those applications have been made, and then include in the letters that we set out the fact that it's there, the link to those sites, and letting the applicants know that if they express any interest, or the citizens know that if they express any interest through that process, we'll be sure to notify them when the final designs are available so they again have that opportunity to look those final designs and comment before we would take action. So that we do have them that means of keeping them engaged all the way through the end of the process.
Sounds to me like you might even be more proactive than we currently are as far as letting them know that those exist.
I have a question. I didn't understand what you just said, because on how it's written, the citizens can come and comment on at the work session.
Correct.
Something could be changed at the work session, be approved by your office that day, and the citizens would never actually know what changed until they saw it built.
Right. Right. What we're suggesting, Councilmember Higgins, is that we will continue to post updates on our website, and particularly if somebody has contacted us through this process and expressed interest, then before we would sign off on those final drawings, we would make sure they've had a chance to look at them.
Well, what I don't understand is if you get direction at a work session, I'm assuming that the staff is not going to approve something that varies significantly or has material changes from what was in the work session.
Mayor, I believe that's a good assumption, that's certainly the direction. The board will give us that direction, but if a citizen's been interested in the process, they may have some other things that they are interested in. And just give them that chance.
I think that they're sort of leaving on the table some situation where you'll have direction from a work study session, and all of a sudden staff will go out, and there will be a drastically changed product that comes out of the staff and board negotiations. And I hope to heck that doesn't happen. I don't think that will happen. Because you're getting directions during a work study session.
That's correct, Mayor. If the citizens
that certainly isn't how it's intended to work.
Right. If something drastically different starting to come out of that, citizens continue to be involved, I'm sure we'd be back with
yeah,
the.
I would assume that you'd go back to the board because at that point in time, you're not dealing with the same proposal that you talked about during the work study session.
Correct.
Okay. And the developer then would choose their own delay. By trying to deviate from that, they would go back, and the city's interest is to ensure quality design. And if the developer wants to change the design, from that which was discussed during the work session, then, okay, we'll take it back to the board.
Correct.
Okay.
But, Mayor, as I understand it, though, you could make a lot of changes in the work session, and it says here under, you know, Section 9 and 10 of Chapter 18, the planning director to approve the DRB request after the work session. So there's nothing that says it's going to come back.
No, it's not. But once again, as you just read, council member, the directions were given during the work study session, which is a public session, which everyone is involved with. And all it says is that once those decisions are made, based on the discussion mm-hmm. in the work study session, which is a public session, which I'm assuming if anyone's really, and correct me if I'm wrong with this, if somebody's really interested, they'll be at the work study session. They'll have a chance to have input. The board will have input. They'll give specific instructions to Mr. Wesley, for example, and the instructions will be if the product comes back and it conforms with these instructions, he then has the right to approve that. If it does not conform with that, I don't see where this ordinance gives him the right to override the board at that point in time. That's how I read it. Is that accurate?
I would still think that the planning director has, it says planning director approved based on recommendations. So
based on the recommendations. So if it's not based on, if it deviates, then that would not be based on the recommendations.
But my problem with this is we have citizens that show up at these at boards like this or at work sessions, and they're not architects, they're not developers, they're not designers, they're not engineers, and you institute some rough line drawings or some verbiage that the average person isn't our architect. So they would actually, you know, you can tell an architect something and they totally know what it's going to look like. But when you sit down with a citizen, say, I was talking about columns and changing from Ionic to Gregorian or whatever. They don't know what that means. I mean, I don't even know what I just said. So, and I think it's that citizen input that we're going to approve something that they won't really, and I don't want to say they don't understand because they're not architects and they're not those professionals to know what it actually is going to look like until it's built. And it approved and then built. So that's my concern.
Okay.
I think we're missing that citizen input loop.
Well, I think we go, and I can understand what you're saying. I'm really not sure that's how it's going to work because I don't think that that's what the system really is designed. I don't think that that's the fatal flaw in the system. I think there will be plenty of chances, and in many ways, the idea is to err on the side of over disclosing and giving people an opportunity. So I hope that's how it works. I do think that, to get back to what we were talking about right before, that if we put it on our tickler and that we have it in the schedule to review this next year, and certainly if there are issues that come up as you've addressed, I'm assuming and I hope those will come back to the council and that'll be part of the review. And if it happens before that, I'm hoping we'll review it before a year. So, okay. So you want to leave that still off consent?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All righty, anything else on page 9? Okay. Yeah, we're going to need to postpone this till the next meeting. Sorry about that, Mr. Butler. And we'll skip reports and conferences. Mr. Brady, item number 5. Are we just delayed, by the way, item number 3 from the agenda? We'll postpone that. Item number 5?
Yes, Mayor, just a reminder that we do not have a study session this Thursday. But we'll all be anxiously attuned and listening to the mayor at the mayor's breakfast at 7:30 a.m. at the Hilton.
Boy, that sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Looking forward to it. And then just a reminder to the public that this Saturday, January 30th, that we have another appliance, computers, and electronics recycling event. It'll be at 8 a.m. to noon at the East Mesa Service Center. So if you have any one of those that you need to recycle, we encourage you to come out this Saturday from 8 to noon. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. We'll see you upstairs in about 4 minutes.